We welcome you to a new episode of our podcast, EFZ Talking Finance, of the Institute of Financial Services, Zug EFZ. My name is Timo Herroth, and we are excited to welcome our guest, Miguel Perez Ludeña. He is the research lead at the Global Reporting Initiative, GRI. In the past, Miguel worked for the United Nations as an economist at the Economic Commission for Latin America and the Caribbean, as well as the United Nations Conference on Trade and Development. Miguel, it's a great pleasure to welcome you in our podcast.
Hello, Timo. It's a pleasure to be here.
Miguel, as mentioned, you're the research lead at GRI. According to a survey by KPMG in October 2022, four of five big companies are reporting according to GRI standards. So, of course, we have to ask us the question, who is GRI? GRI became quite a player in the area of sustainability reporting. So what's behind? Can you maybe give us a short intro of GRI and its focus areas?
Yes, of course. We are an NGO. We are an NGO based in the Netherlands, and we produce and maintain the GRI standards. That is our only focus. And the GRI standards are the most widely used standards for sustainability reporting for companies and all types of organizations that want to report on their impacts on the economy, on society, and people. They can use the GRI standards, and as you just said, more and more use them.
And how big is GRI? I mean, what do we have to imagine if we think of GRI?
We are relatively small, actually. We are not much more than 100 full-time staff. It's important to know that we are completely independent. We fund ourselves partially through some government and private foundations funding, but mostly through our own income generating activities that have to do with the standards. Although the standards are a free public good, and we publish them on the web and everybody can use them free of cost, we do have some services, normally on capacity building and training and software certification attached to the standards, which generate the income enough to maintain our operations and to continue growing the standards and maintaining the standards as they are.
And you're based in Amsterdam, right? And you're like interacting also a lot with companies in these trainings, or what could I like think of? How is your work like?
We are based in Amsterdam indeed, with network offices around the world in Africa, Asia, Latin America, North America, and we interact with companies globally. As you said, although we are based in Amsterdam, we don't have any particular affinity with Dutch companies, and let alone the Dutch government. We are very global in our operations, which of course the recent trend of working remotely and having meetings remotely has actually facilitated this. It is now much easier to have working groups and technical committees from people from all over the world on a regular basis than it was only 3 years ago. And this is an important part of our work and how do we work. We are governed by the Global Standard Sustainability Board, the GSSB, which is a collection of 15 highly qualified professionals in the field, coming from our five key constituencies, which are business, investors, labor representatives, civil society organizations, and intermediate institutions. And this group of people formed in the board are the ultimate responsibles for the standards. They have to approve the standards, they discuss and approve our standards. But even before the standards are submitted to the board, they are done with the help of working groups and technical committees from, again, all over the world, which are experts in the specific topics that the standard covers, and that they also represent our five key constituencies that I just mentioned. And I think this is very important for everyone to understand the relevance and the solidity of our standards, which they are made in a constant debate of all these constituencies. So for a standard of GRI to be approved, it has to satisfy the demands of civil society, has to satisfy the demands of worker representatives, but it also has to be comfortable enough for business to sign into it. So they represent the stakeholder expectations of what society expects organizations to report on, let's say, biodiversity or climate change, because of the way they are produced.
Oh, interesting. And Miguel, you are the research lead at GRI. What can we imagine, like, when you think of, like, you have research tasks there, of course, but what can you maybe describe some of these research you're doing?
Yeah, I think it's important to understand that research in GRI means part of developing the standards, and not actually an analysis of the uses or key concepts around the standards that is published separately. No, it is actually part of the development of the standards, which are done with a combination of a stakeholder engagement and research, meaning that we based our standards on key international documents and agreements, and on the best possible evidence that there is, and we confront that evidence with the views of our stakeholders, organized, as I mentioned, in these working groups and in the GSSB. So the two aspects, the research and the stakeholder engagement, talk to each other, and they end up both of them building up the standard. So actually I work basically constructing this the standards rather than analyzing them.
And like, speaking a bit more general about ESG disclosure, we mentioned GRI is becoming more and more prominent because also of the development of sustainability reporting in general, also because you're doing great work. And at the EFZ of the University of Applied Sciences, we are like offering a lot of vocational trainings to people in business, from corporates and also from the financial industry. And of course, we also see the growing interest in the topic, but also a bit of like sometimes a bit of frustration when it comes to the requirement for companies to publish information on sustainability. So in your opinion, how would you currently describe the willingness and openness, but also, of course, a bit of the struggle that companies have to deal with ESG disclosure?
I understand the struggle. Completely. I mean, it is a fact that society demands more information on the impacts of organizations on sustainability, and it is growing. It is growing quite fast, these demands, and it's only understandable that companies struggle with it. It is our responsibility as GRI to make sure that what we demand for organizations to report are disclosures that are meaningful, that are doable, and that are actionable. but it's true that everybody is scaling up the game, and it is of course companies are putting an effort because society demands it and governments demand it. Demands this all this information, and therefore we all have to make an effort.
Yeah, you're right. We have to work on it, right?
Yes.
And from an institutional perspective, like, What do you think? How's the competition? Like, we have also other standard setters also related to sustainability. For example, in the European context, you have like EFRAG, and with regards to the S, of course, we all also know like SASB or the ISSB, which are integrated now, formerly the Value Reporting Foundation. What is your opinion on how can we see that landscape of standard setters? What do you think if like, what is the further development of such institutions?
It is an interesting time. I mean, GRI has been here for 25 years. So we've been for 25 years arguing for increased transparency in reporting about impacts. Other organizations are now coming into the field. Many regulators, notably the EU, but not only, are demanding that these disclosures that were up until now voluntary become mandatory. Society requires more and more information. It is increasingly required and expected, at least of large companies, that they not only report on information, but they assure that the information that they report is valid. And all this is welcome. It's a development. On each of these standard setters, each one has its own niche and its own principles and area of responsibility. IFRS is focusing on financial materiality, and therefore it covers a narrower range of topics and impacts than GRI does. The new standards being developed by the European Commission, ESRS, covers both financial and impact materiality. Of course, they only apply within the European Union, and we are proud to have collaborated in the development of these standards, which EFRAG, the advisory body to the European Commission that has developed their standards, claims that their draft standards, now set to be approved, are compliant with GRI, that they are actually aligned with the GRI standards that so many thousands of companies in the European Union are using. This is good. We will continue to collaborate with ESRS to make sure that the ESRS standards that become mandatory in the European Union are the best possible standards, and as well that the thousands of companies that already apply a GRI in the European Union have a smooth transition to the new ESRS standards.
Miguel, we spoke about the challenges of companies with regards to disclosure and sustainability. We have been in touch for quite a while, also discussing about ESG data. And what do you think are your current challenges with regards to ESG data and ESG information? I remember you had a public database at GRI. Do you think that in the future for us as researchers, we can again tap into the pool of great GRI data and resources, or is that not the goal anymore? I mean, you just spoke of alignment, which is also very, very valuable for companies, I think. But what is like happening on the data side?
We have paused the collection of sustainability reports by companies, which we used to compile, but we stopped actually as a growing problem, or as a byproduct of our expansion. As many more organizations were using GRI, fewer and fewer of them were reporting back to us, and we were not able to keep a meaningful database of organizations reporting with GRI. In fact, this is, let's say, a problem of our own business model. We have a very open business model in which we offer their standards for free. We encourage companies to use them. We encourage companies to reply in accordance with GRI and use the full set of standards. But we are also realize that for many, it's a growing problem, and it's a task that they have to go slowly into it. So we also encourage companies to use partially our standards. We encourage regulators to use them as much as they want. And the result is that we are actually not completely sure how many companies are using GRI, because we don't require any close contact with us to use them. So this has worked. This is a model that has worked very well. Thousands and thousands of organizations use our standards, but it has prevented us from keeping track on how many organizations use them, and from maintaining a database that could be useful for us, for researchers, or let alone as a source of income. We have not gone on that path. And although we are stepping up now our data collection capacities, we cannot promise that we will make public any meaningful database of GRI users, at least not in the near future.
Okay, maybe hopefully as a researcher, I have to hope for the long run. We will see. Miguel, we see great progress by GRI, and also like we are hoping for more alignments, companies hope for more alignments, as you just mentioned before. And of course, also when I discuss about GRI in many discussions here at the university, but also with companies and investors, we see that I think on the sky, looking to the crystal ball, we would like hope for maybe more specific, like sector specific or more standards which are more related to special sectors and industries, etc. You already did a lot of progress there. For example, you developed sector specific standards in the areas of oil and gas, of coal, of agriculture, aquaculture and fishing. And the plan is, as I've read, and please confirm or falsify my information, but the plan is to publish these sector standards for 40 sectors in total in the future. That might also help like companies in special sectors to have a clearer picture on where's maybe the emphasis of different standards. So what would your look in the crystal ball be to predict how companies will further deal with ESG disclosure, also related to this sector specificity? And I have another question, like also, what is like you mentioning shortly the concept of double materiality, and I think it can be our hope that companies also relate more to that concept of double materiality, which includes the impact of a company on a broader set of stakeholders on the world at large, particularly with regard to climate change and other environmental and social impacts. So two questions I have. One is like, what is how you're dealing now with more sector specificity, and how will, in looking to the crystal ball in your imagination, be the development of double materiality in ESG disclosure?
We started the sector program a few years ago with the idea that there was demand for better reporting and more coherent reporting among organizations in the same sector. A lot of companies are using GRI to report, and that is good, but we found that reporting was a bit too divergent, and especially stakeholders are expecting a certain coherence of organizations in the same sector, that they should report on broadly similar issues so they can be some degree of comparability. And that is why we decided to issue the GRI sector standards, which is a depart from the way GRI standards have been working in the past, which they were all sector agnostic, and companies in any sector would use the same standards. Now, the GRI set of standards is in place the same, but there are now the new sector standards which would guide companies in a specific sector onto which are the topics that are likely material for them in that sector, how it relates to the impacts that sector typically has on the economy and society and on the environment, and will propose specific disclosures, which are sector specific disclosures that will relate only to organizations in that sector. For example, we are asking oil and gas companies to report on their flaring and venting activities, which is not something that the GRI standards on emissions ask, because it's very specific to this sector, but it's something that we ask in GRI 11, which is the first sector standard, GRI 11 for oil and gas. Now, they are still new in the sense that only the first one, GRI 11 oil and gas, is in force this year. And because it has only been in force since 1st of January, it in practice means that oil and gas companies are only now starting to report according to this new standard. 39 others are coming. We have published already, as you mentioned, coal, agriculture, aquaculture, and fishing, which they will become in force 1st of January next year. We are very advanced with GRI 14 on mining, and we are working on the next ones, which are about food and beverages, textiles and apparel, and the whole financial services industry, split between banking, insurance, and capital markets. And then there will be many others coming up soon. I think these will be a great addition to the GRI standards. They will allow companies to identify better their material topics, and they will allow stakeholders and readers of the reports to better compare the impacts of companies. And of course, you had a second question, which by now, of course, I forgot.
Yeah, and you already quite answered, actually. I asked, okay, with these more sector-specific standards, what happens to, like, is it easier then to report on double materiality? You already answered that it's also a goal, like, that companies are more able to report on double materiality, like there can be, that it's not too general, right? That they can be more sector-specific and know about their double materiality in that special sectors, right?
Indeed. I mean, of course, the basic principles and the same basic approaches of GRI do not change because of the sector standards. We do still apply what we call impact materiality, which is that we request companies to think about the impacts that they have on the world and assess those impacts that are more serious, and determine which of those impacts are material for them to report on them using the GRI standards. The principle remains.
And maybe for our listeners, this is maybe like this double materiality concept, right? Compared to other standards, which might be more focused on financial materiality, exactly. You have in this, your standards the materiality, the double materiality, which includes the impact of a company also on a broader set of stakeholders on the world at large, right?
That is our focus. The concept of double materiality refers to that you are considering impact materiality, which is what we focus on, but also financial materiality, which of course is covered by financial reporting.
Thank you, Miguel, for clarifying that. Coming to my last question, which is just a very short one, but what is your personal wish for? Because we are like dealing also, you know, we have to inform, like motivate also our students to be more related to the topic of sustainability. We're putting it more and more also into our curricula, But of course, for us also takes time to deal with that. But behind that, I mean, us as researchers and also like teachers at the university, we have also to motivate our students and to talk about it, to inform them, you know, to increase also the level of profession with regards to sustainability. So what would be your personal wish, maybe also with regards to the sustainability reporting domain in general, but also to our students? Do you have maybe a short message to our students, what you would think of?
We definitely need more sustainability experts. We definitely need more professionals who understand sustainability. I was just this week, actually, I was attending a board meeting of an organization of public accountants. And what these professionals were telling me from all over the world, from normally from national institutions of public accountants, is that they are struggling now to raise the capacities of their members in sustainability matters. I mean, there are thousands and thousands of accountants and other professionals that have been making reports on the performance of companies, that have been auditing these reports, have been communicating these reports, and now they realize they have a whole new field on which they have to look and understand the key concepts and apply them. And this is a learning curve. It's a learning curve that we are all trying to fill the gap as much as we can. In fact, the GRI Academy, which is produces a set of courses online on GRI standards, have been growing massively in the last couple of years, and we expect to grow it much more. Of course, you in the university are saying that probably the demand of students in this field is growing. It is normal. It's good that the demand is growing. The ball is on us, on our colleagues in the GRI Academy, on you as teachers, to fill in that demand and to prepare the next generation for issues that will be here for the foreseeable future and will be here for the whole of the professional lives of your students. We have to face them.
Many thanks for that great message at the end. I want to thank you for your time, Miguel. I especially also want to thank you for these interesting insights you gave us. And I wish you all the best to you, all the best also to GRI. And we are really looking to the further development of the institution, and yes, keep us updated and informed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Timo. It was a pleasure.